Welcome to the Northern Affinity Video Podcast. During this session, we will be having an unedited discussion with an expert. And what I'll be planning to do is, during our discussion, get them to teach me something. Teach me about something that's of interest, but also they are an expert in. I'm Michael Edwards, and I'm the founder of the Northern Affinity. And I will tap into our wonderful community to bring you along on my drive for self-improvement and my desire to learn. So please connect with me on various social media platforms, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter. And I'd love to hear from you what subjects you'd like to learn more about, or what subjects you think it'd be good for me to learn about. So please, you know, get in contact and let me know. All the details will be in the show notes, and you can send me an email or contact me via the various platforms. I really hope you enjoy the show. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Northern Affinity Podcast and the Teach Me How series. For those who've read the show notes or are watching us now on YouTube, you can see we're going to talk about how to protect your business and your investments. And I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by Annie. So thank you for joining me today, Annie.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Great to be here.
And for those kind of eagle-eyed people who are watching, you probably notice I'm in a slightly different location than normal. I'm actually recording this from one of our venues that we use for our events, Clockwise, which have got some new Zoom and podcast studio rooms. So it's really interesting to see how this is a bit different environment. So I'll be interested to see how the sound comes out, because these rooms are very much designed for these things as well. So if anyone's noticed that, then well done to you. So before we go on and talk about the subject in a bit more detail, Annie, do you want to just give us kind of a quick introduction to yourself and your business and what you do, and we can kind of go from there?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name's Anelia. I'm a director of Factoring Consulting. The business was set up over 3 years ago, and our focus is really to work with business owners in terms of creating protection solutions for them and help them build their financial war chest, so we can get business owners to where they want to be. And I think that the biggest part of it is that I'm hoping to use this business to make sure that business owners, their business finance and personal finance can work seamlessly together.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because I think probably most people kind of almost put them two things as separate things, don't they? The business and the personal finance, when in reality they are very, very obviously closely linked. So before we kind of go into the how, I guess the important question to start with is why. You know, why would someone, whether it's someone who's starting their business today or someone who's been running a business for 20 years, why do they need to protect their business, and why do they need to protect their investments? Why does that matter so much?
Yes, that's a very, very good question, Michael, because I think the number one premises is that no business is set up or run in the bubbles. We have many shareholders around us in the business and around the business, starting from the shareholder, be it the sole owner or anyone else, any other shareholders. And then also you get customers, and you got suppliers, you get creditors, and then you got staff, employees. How do you retain them? So there's a lot of these bubbles. We call it our own little bubbles, but adjacent to that, it's all the family members of all these stakeholders. And then so if we do not protect our investment, you're going to have ripple effect affecting everybody else around us. For instance, if you only have one customer, and then that customers all of a sudden decided or go bankrupt, or due to whatever reason they stop the contract from you, all of a sudden you lose the revenue. So your original, the capital investment, and will have to be diverted to find a replacement, or you just really getting to have to turn to the bank saying, can you give me more cash to tie me through? So that's really where why we need to protect investment, not to mention that it's our hard earned money. And when we put in the not just monetary capital, it's also emotional capital, that a lot of our life worth capital in the business, we need to protect them. It's really, really important.
Absolutely. And for most, if not everybody who's kind of started their own business, they've probably, like you quite right said, there's obviously the financial element of it, but there's definitely the emotional. There's also the time element of it. There's probably a lot of kind of, let's call it blood, sweat and tears that have gone into a business. So
exactly.
And obviously, you know, if you get a point where you've started to establish it and it's becoming relatively successful, and obviously success is relative to each individual person, it to protect that is vital, because it's the, yes, it's the financial, but there's probably a bit more than that, isn't there? Like you said, the emotional side of it and the time, it's important to be able to put things in place.
Exactly. And the things people think about protection is that in case of the worst case scenario, but sometimes the protection needs to happen much earlier on. You need to anticipate the potential risks. So I was a banker, helping business, raising billions and millions of funds in that business. Our number one concern is that while the owners, business owners, sell a business, they're very driven in growing the business. One of our main focus is to ring them back, say, what are your key risk factor? What if anything to happen to yourself, to customers, to suppliers? And for instance, if you only have one supplier, the supplier warehouse gets burned down and the machinery stops working, what's going to happen to you? So that's where we're coming from. This the risk management that's really important to protect the business.
Yeah, and that's probably a really good point, actually, in terms of, I guess, the things that can go wrong. Now, obviously, every business is individual, and they'll all have their own kind of individual risks to an extent. But from kind of your experience, what are the main, maybe the kind of more generic issues that business could, and the things that can go wrong that people need to protect themselves against? What examples have you maybe seen over the years?
The first number one example that it's the owners, where, so for instance, we're shareholders, and because I mentioned the key stakeholders and shareholder, customer, supplier, accreditor, and staff. I think the first one, what I see is that sometimes when we're so focused on growing our business, and then people tend to lose track of who is the main engine. Even when we drive a car, we have a mindset that every 10,000 miles, every whatever we take into the shop for big maintenance work to make sure it keeps going. But when we're as business owners, sometimes we keep on driving the business. We never thought about what's going to happen to ourselves if we're taken out of the picture. I think that's first one. And I've got some business owners, all of a sudden, they have three business shareholders set up the business. One is focused on marketing, one is focused on technology, and all of a sudden, one of them is gone, and then they haven't created this layer of succession plans coming up to step into that place. And that's, I think, a big risk factor to that. And then secondly, is the owner is the customer concentration side. What I see is that sometimes they get big win, big contract. Oh, hooray, it's really good business for us. But if this particular customer represents over 50% of your revenue, I will ask what's going to happen if that customer is no longer there. I think while it's good we go out, focus on big contract wins, it's also really good to think about diversification risk. And then the third one is about the bank, the creditors, because sometimes we tend to overstretch ourselves in terms of our lending or borrowing. So whenever we borrow, I mean, business, it's good to have a healthy certain level of bank borrowing, but we also need to stress test. I know the banks, they have obligation to stress test every time they make a loan to any particular customer to make sure they can sustain the shock of interest rate hikes, which we're all aware of right now. But on the other hand, we also need to think about it. And then the last thing is, it's number one priority whenever I go over the personal financial planning or business financial planning. What is your contingency plan? Do you have a certain amount of money? Do you have other things that's set aside in case anything were to happen to you?
That makes sense. And I want to really pick up actually on one point that you made there around the individual. Now, I think a lot of the people I know, and I would definitely include myself in this, if we asked the question of what would happen if I couldn't work in the business for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, for whatever reason, the impact that would have, I would suggest that the vast majority of people would say the business wouldn't be able to continue.
Exactly.
So I think that's a really, really important point.
Yes, I think there are. It's very, very important, because I know when we're growing, when we started out, we only have one or two original staff or employers, just shareholders. We're doing everything on our own. But it's really good to think about building this network around you. For instance, if you were just need to even not, it doesn't have to be sick, or just you need to take one month out. Do you have other contingent staff can step in, for instance, even on a contract basis? I wouldn't say virtual assistant, but someone within your network that can step in to help you to manage the process through. Because you mentioned to me, Michael, when we spoke, that you said for the Newcastle or Manchester, you're thinking about having someone to help you manage the business while you are allow you to focus on other things. But we also need to think about what if you don't have anything else focused other than just to give yourself some downtime to away from the business for other things, for whatever reason. So it's really important, I think, when we're growing, we need to think about the contingent plan. What if? I know it's not a nice, pleasant thought. Whenever I talk to clients, they say, okay, I'll think about it. Oh, what if, whatever. Okay, maybe another time. But it there's no better time than right now, just having some contingent plan in a place, either be your family members or someone that work closely with you, even on part-time basis, at least give the customer some time to absorb the shock, rather than say, right, I'm going to fold up and that's it.
Absolutely. I'd like to kind of add to that as well. So I think most people think about, maybe if your business, you sustain an injury or an illness, probably most people think, well, I could still go on my laptop and do a bits. And because there might be a lot of people watching this whose work is based around that. Marketing, for example, and that's fine. You know, I know an example of someone who unfortunately had an injury, which essentially meant that they weren't able to basically look at a computer for several months. So it's not just, it'd be obvious for, a builder. If they broke their leg, it's very difficult to do their job. Now, for my job, for example, if I broke my leg, then I could actually conceivably, I could still do what I do, really. But there's other things that could happen to you that means you can. And it's not just maybe the physical element of it as well that people need to think about.
Yeah, it's not just the physical. It's that there's a financial and also personal impact. Even if, say, for instance, you might need to take time, half a day or one day to GP, and therefore you lose your revenue earnings during that particular time. We're talking about financial side of it. But on the other hand, it's just then your family side. Maybe if you have children, your spouse might need to take some time off because there's all this caring additional caring responsibility, which might affect her financial income, and not to mention the stress. And I know, just being a working mom myself, and if I would have to go away somewhere for half a day during that happen to be the school run time, you just like you kind of scramble with what to do with the school pickups and everything. It's a stress element. And the things, there are easy ways to do that. And for instance, there are a lot of critical illness insurance out there, and that pays you one lump sum or pays you continuous income. And as a business owner, there are many ways that you can run through these policies through the business in a very tax efficient way your family have to pay for it. So there are different ways of getting around it, just to give us additional that cushion. I know everything, it's not just the money, but with a bit money that comes in, during the time when we need it the most will give us so much breathing space so we can focus on the emotional side of it, another side of and a family side of the issues when the crisis hits.
Yeah, no, and that's actually a great segue into my next question, which is kind of the how do we do it? So how?
Yes.
And again, I appreciate that every single business is different in their own way, and every individual, we all have our requirements. But again, if we kind of speak relatively generally, what type of things can someone do to protect themselves and to protect their business, which I guess is the whole point of this podcast? What kind of things could people think about at least?
Yes, the first one is setting up an emergency fund, emergency war chest. So that's really number one. The second is that in terms of HR personnel, think about the contingent plan. And then the third one is think about how do you manage this potential risk, either customer concentration, supplier concentration, or whatever interest loan, because as SME business owners, we tend to have to put up personal guarantee for business loans. So there are many insurance products out there that can actually provide tax-free cash when you need it the most, including either business, for instance, shareholders protections, and or also key person insurance in case one of your sales staff is responsible for over 50% of the customers, and also even like shareholders loans protection. So when you provide personal guarantees, so if anything will happen to your business, the bank will not go after your personal guarantee, which is tends to be your houses or other family assets. They can just use a policy. And so there are, and also another one is for the employee. It's also for director of the business as a relevant life. It's really, really the most tax efficient life insurance policy out there, where the business pays for the premium, and it's tax-free benefits to the families of the employee. And also the employee does not get paid, it gets charged as a benefit income. They don't have to pay taxes on those premiums as well. So, and then of course there are, in the nowadays, a lot of our onlines, a lot of our business are conducting online, everything is online. So think about cyber insurance. This was 5 years ago, it was never ever on the horizon. But now, unfortunately, I just came across a client. Unfortunately, his business was hacked by someone to the ransom. So it was cost huge. He does have insurance, luckily, the financial side is it. But on the other hand, how do you manage the customers? How do you, your life's worth, it's life's worth work, which was on the server. Now it's all gone. So this is cyber insurance. It's so important. And then the next one is, I think, professional indemnity insurance. It's a legal requirement, but at some point people just think once I get professional indemnity and that's it. But actually, there are so many other risks, like the building insurance and anything. They just, I think, take a moment and look at the list. Who are the key stakeholders? Who are the key elements that generate, that help you generate the business? And what's going to happen if these elements are taken out of the picture? What to do with it? So that's really the general mindset. As you said, Michael, every business is different. It's really hard to say, I have one solution for all. And also, even if you have this protection, because I have a client who came to us saying, oh, I want to take out key person insurance. And my last broker said, I needed 25 years. And I said, what's going to happen? What do you do with your business? And they said, I want to sell my business within 5 years. Then all you need is for 5 years. There's not cookie cutter solution to everyone. There is always out there, because every business has different risk elements to it.
Yeah. And I want to pick up on a couple of those you mentioned there from kind of experiences I've heard of actually. The first one is around cyber, which I think, as you quite rightly said, obviously has become more and more relevant in recent years. I was told, and I might be wrong with this figure, but I think it was around this, that around 80% of businesses that get hit by a cyber attack basically never reopen, because the financial situation has to be able to resolve that has just basically they can't do it, so they've not been able to open. I don't know if that number's still correct, but that was something I remember getting told a while ago. And even if it's anywhere near that number, that's obviously protect yourself against that is so important.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not just reopen that. I think it just maybe I think part of it it's if you have the insurance, I think financial side might be able to take care of part of it, if not all of it. But I think the stress, the thing about, especially when you think about GDPR liability, because a lot of our customer data is on the server. What if it gets falling into the wrong hand and then you're subject to potential liability? I think to the lawsuit and everything, it's just unthinkable. So I think it just sometimes paying the ransom doesn't just stop everything, even if you have the money. It's just the implication of that. And maybe that's why, unless you're big corporates with the billions of money in the bank, it's really, really hard. I think, but I would think in terms of, it's not probably not just monetary side of it. There's a lot of it. It's, I think, on the emotional side. So that's why for me, it's a risk protection. It's not the money issue. It's that peace of mind. It's that protection, thinking that you, yourself, your staff, your families will have something to fall back on if unfortunate event hits.
Yeah, and that kind of leads me on to my second one, actually, was I but like you had a previous history in banking, and I came across a few examples where a business had two or more partners, essentially, of the business and shareholders. And unfortunately, one of them died, which meant the shareholding went to their partner, as in a personal side of it. And that person then sold it on someone else who came into the business, and it caused all sorts of issues because they weren't aligned with that the other person. Or they wanted to sell it again from the two businesses wanted to sell a business. One didn't, and they ended up selling to someone else. And again, that caused all sorts of issues. And having something in place that says, you know, essentially, if you want to sell your the part of the business for whatever circumstance, this is what happens, or you get first refusal, would have made a big difference to somebody.
Yes.
I came across a couple of examples of that, where, you know, basically it was the beginning of the end of the business when that happened.
Yes, it's very, actually, this is, I think, when in my line of business, I find business shareholders protection is one of the least known and least, I would say, talked about product, but it's so important. People just don't think about it. As you mentioned, this is one of the, there's a coffee shop chain that had the same issue. I think the original valuation was, I don't know, 2 million or something each, and they ended up 7 years drawn out legal battle because one of the partner passed away again, and then the shareholding went to the spouse. The spouse didn't get along with the other two shareholders, and then they taken each other to court over 7 years and ended up pay out like 7-8 million. So, but actually it could have been solved by a very, very simple cross-option agreement. You take out the life insurance on each other. So if anything were happened, the payout goes straight into the trust, which goes straight into the family's account. And then the shares goes back to the business, to the other shareholders. Yep. And then you just have that options embedded into the shareholders agreement. And just, it's, I don't know why no one think about this, but it's just so important. And recently I came across a client and they said, oh, we're gonna buy back the business. And I was like, but your business, sure, if anything would happen, but your business is close to double digit valuation. How does your business have the money to pay back 50% of that? That's 5 million out of any business. It's not a small sum, but all you could do is, there's a lot of financial instruments out there to stop that from happening.
Absolutely. No, that makes sense. And final question for me, Annie, is around, I guess when people should look at this, you know, is it from the very start or is it at a certain point? Because there might be people watching this and the business has maybe just started recently and it's only them and probably think, well, it's not really got much value. Or it might be people who are watching this who's been going 20 years and the business will be worth whatever it is. Is it something you need to kind of think about and consider and look at right from the start, or is there a certain point when it makes sense?
Ideally, it would be it's good as soon as you start thinking about it. But I think for realistic speaking, it's that when you first started, I had a client who said, I put in 90,000. That's all I want to protect because it's my mother's money or mother-in-law's money. That's fine. But as you grow, you think about in terms of staff retention, as your business grows, and where's the customer coming on, if there is any customer concentration risk, or are you putting yourself online to provide guarantee for business loans? Are you in business with other people? Do you have the money to buy them out? So I think then that's really moment to start to think about it. And then one last element of it is that a lot of our business, we grow to attract more investment to help us grow further. But when you talk to all the private equity venture capitals, the minute you started getting to raise funds or the minute they put money in, one of the conditions is that where's your key person protection insurance? Because they want to make sure whoever they invest in there, that person is going to be there. If chief technology officer, chief financial officer, or chief CEO, they don't want to just say all of a sudden I invest this money and boom, this person got taken out by illness tomorrow. And so they just need some money to come in to stabilize the operation when they are looking for alternatives.
That's great, Annie. Now, as we touched on earlier, every business is different. Every business is individual. So there may be people who want to speak to yourself about their circumstances and what they need to do. Where's the best places to kind of go look for you and to contact you if they want to have that conversation?
Yeah, the first one is LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn, Annie Lian. And also you can look up our website, www.fatgreen.co.uk. And also a couple of comments to add on names about the names of our business. Someone keep on asking that. There are a lot of people asking, what does it mean by Fat Green? And fat in Chinese means prosperity. Green means growth. That's where we're protecting business growth. That is what our initial business was set up for. So Fat Green.
Ah, I like that. That's really, yeah, that's fascinating. And it perfectly, you know, suits what you do in your business. Well, thank you, Annie. Thank you so much. And I'll just mention as well, if for whatever reason people can't find you, if it is on LinkedIn, I will put the links to you on the show notes, whether this is on the podcast platform or through YouTube as well. Or even if you can't find it there, just contact us at Northern Affinity and we can pass you on to Annie that way. So thank you very much, Annie. It's been a real pleasure. And I think hopefully it's given a lot of people something to think about, if nothing else, and to start thinking about what they might need to do for them and their business.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure talking to you, as always. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this chat today, and like me, you learned something new from our wonderful expert. So if you'd like to hear from more of our sessions, please subscribe on whatever platform that you get your podcast from to hear more. And also, we'd love to meet you at some point at one of our upcoming events. The Northern Affinity hold events all across the north of England, and we'd love to meet new people and have guests along. So please come along and check out our website or all the details in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.